Chapter 1. The Murder. On July the 6th, 2019, Jeffrey Epstein was arrested at New Jersey's Teterboro Airport, following a trip to France. During a raid on his mansion, the FBI found nude photos, including images of teenage girls. Charged with sex trafficking and conspiracy to traffic minors for sex, he offered to pay a $600 million bail bond, which the judge denied because he was a flight risk, an acute danger to the community, and a threat to the witnesses. With his case under scrutiny, his former protectors, including Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, whom he had attempted to compromise in a honey trap scheme, began to pull away. Facing a life sentence, he hoped to win a double jeopardy motion or to cut a deal with the prosecutor, which would have required naming his accomplices. As his legal difficulties multiplied, so did the risk to his powerful co-conspirators. If their activity was documented in court, certain government agencies would be forced to act. Epstein had to be eliminated. On August 3rd, 2019, I posted a video on YouTube. Has Bill Clinton scheduled Jeffrey Epstein for prison death to cover up Lolita scandal? I stated that Epstein would be killed and that it would probably be made to look like a suicide. On August 10th, 2019, the news reported that he had died. Just 10 days before his death, on July 23rd, an incident happened that suggested his time was limited. In the Metropolitan Correctional Center, he was found unconscious, with injuries to his neck. He had been assigned a cellmate, called Nicholas Tartaglione, a muscle-bound ex-cop turned gangster, accused of killing four men in his brother's bar after a drug deal soured. Facing the death penalty, Tartaglione had access to the outside world through an illegal cell phone. Under normal circumstances, sex offenders would never be housed with murderers and gangsters, because the convict code dictates that they should be killed on sight. KOS. Epstein complained to one of his lawyers that he'd been attacked by Tartaglione. Naturally, when questioned by investigators, his cellmate denied having anything to do with the injuries. Whatever had prevented the first attempt on his life, Epstein was placed on a suicide watch. On July 29, he was removed from the suicide watch and put in a special housing unit with another cellmate. Every 30 minutes, a guard was supposed to check on him. The night before his murder, August 9, his cellmate was conveniently removed. The cameras monitoring the area malfunctioned, and the guards on duty had supposedly fallen asleep or been so engrossed in online shopping that they were oblivious to the man dying a short distance from the guard station. The two guards, Tova Noel, 31, and Michael Thomas, 41, would later be charged with falsifying records and conspiracy because for 8 hours, from 10:30 p.m. on August 9 to 6:30 a.m. on August 10th, they had not gone to his cell door. The indictment against the guards stated they sat at their desks, browsed online, and moved about the common area for a substantial portion of their shift instead of completing the required checks. Noel and Thomas allegedly appeared to be asleep at their desks for about 2 hours. Noel used her computer to search for furniture sales and benefit websites during her shift. Thomas allegedly searched online for motorcycle sales and sports news, briefly at 1 a.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m. The pair were only 15 feet from Epstein when he died. They found him dead when they went to serve him breakfast at 6:30 a.m. The last time they had checked on him was at 10:30 p.m. the night before. Noel allegedly told a supervisor, we did not complete the 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. rounds. Thomas added, "We messed up." And, "I messed up. She's not to blame. We didn't do any rounds." According to Nick Tartaglione's lawyer, nobody heard anything. It was a silent act. The autopsy revealed that various neck bones had been fractured, including the hyoid, which most medical experts commenting on the case have stated is more common in homicide than suicide. Life is cheap in prison. A small amount of heroin is enough to get somebody killed. To get away with a professional hit, the victim would have to die in a way that would look like suicide. Out of the methods that prisoners use to commit suicide or to die accidentally, a professional would probably go with hanging or a hot shot. Guards who have killed prisoners have been known to rope somebody up. Gang members often employ the hot shot because a prisoner found overdosed on heroin appears to be just another dead addict, which requires no further investigation. In 2008, teenager Ronnie White, who was charged with killing a cop, was found dead in a Washington jail. After the medical examiner found a broken hyoid, the cause of death was changed from suicide to homicide. The examiners suspected that he had been strangled with a sheet, towel, or the crux of an elbow. The guard who had moved his body was found guilty of obstruction, but no charges were filed for his murder. In 2013, a federal judge declared the cause of death a mystery. One of the lawyers representing victims of Epstein, Spencer Coovin, spoke to a staff member at the jail and told the media, "I received a call from a supervisor at the MCC, which is the jail that Mr. Epstein was held in. The first words out of his mouth, to be honest, were, 'Don't believe what you are hearing in regards to Epstein's death.' I had a lengthy conversation with him about the issue of security within MCC, and he gave me a fairly detailed description of the interior of the jail, which led me to believe that he was credible. He told me how the SHU, Special Housing Unit, where Epstein was kept, was basically designed to be a jail within the jail, and there was a separate, even more secure unit inside the SHU, where the highest value targets were kept. He said every square inch of that place is covered by cameras. It was designed that way because of super high value targets that are kept there, such as terrorists, drug dealers, and other extremely high value targets or suspects, like Mr. Epstein. If reports that there is no CCTV are true, it would mean that they'd either shut the cameras off or they were not functioning in some way. He says there's no way that they would not have been able to see what was going on. What my source found very suspicious was that his cellmate was pulled the day before. The purpose of a cellmate for someone who either was on suicide watch or is on suicide watch is to notify guards if something is happening. So, the fact that they pulled the cellmate is not only one level above negligent, it also appears intentional. Really, he should have been on suicide watch. Not only was he not on suicide watch, they pulled the one person that could have notified guards if something untoward was about to occur. It was almost as if they did it so that no one would see what was going to happen the following day. I met Epstein on three separate occasions, and he never seemed to me to be a remorseful individual. He always seemed highly intelligent, arrogant, self-assured, confident. Never thought he did anything wrong, even in the light of all the evidence against him. He basically just blamed the victims and had an incredible ego about himself, and someone with that type of ego just never struck me as someone that could possibly commit suicide. I didn't think he was that brave, to be perfectly honest. He always hid behind lawyers upon lawyers upon lawyers in his civil and criminal cases. I mean, you can't even count the number of people he hired to protect him from any allegations, both civil and criminal. This type of act requires a certain amount of resolve, and he just never struck me as someone that could do that. I think the most likely scenario, if it's not suicide, is that somebody on the inside of the prison was paid, essentially, to make it look like suicide. And the guards were paid to disappear and not be there. And his cellmate was taken away on Friday, so there'd be no witness. So someone went in there in the early morning hours, tied him around the neck with a bedsheet, tied the bedsheet to the bed, and pushed him down effectively, and held him down until he choked to death. For something like this, you would expect to see some type of bruising or whatever around his shoulders if he was being held down against his will. So that would be the most likely scenario to make it appear as though he had done the act himself. With the fracture of the bone in his neck, it suggests a high amount of force pushing down on him. I think the most likely scenario, if it is not suicide, is that there were too many people that were afraid that he would talk about what he may have done with them and others. They just paid off someone to go into the jail and take care of him. Even with the most baffling assassinations, those responsible sometimes reveal themselves during the cover-up. The person to investigate Epstein's death was Attorney General William Barr, whose headmaster father had hired Epstein in 1974 to teach teenagers mathematics and physics at the exclusive Dalton School on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. From 1973 to 1977, Barr worked for the CIA, starting out as an analyst and then becoming the Assistant Legislative Counsel. From 1991 to 1993, he was the Attorney General for George H.W. Bush. According to the journalist Whitney Webb, while Barr was in the CIA's Office of Legislative Counsel, he stonewalled the Church and Pike committees, which were investigating the wrongdoing of the CIA, including sexual blackmail operations carried out in the 1970s. While working for the Bush administration, he pardoned several controversial Iran-Contra figures, including people linked to sexual blackmail operations involving children. Barr worked for Kirkland & Ellis, a law firm that defended Epstein. Stating that he didn't specifically work on the Epstein case, Barr refused to recuse himself from the investigation. His history of covering things up for the CIA suggests that the agency may have been used to coordinate the assassination. If those responsible for Epstein's death were able to order an intelligence agency to perform the hit, then the suspect list must be comprised of people far more powerful and wealthier than the deceased. The next question that must be asked is, who had the most to gain from silencing Epstein? Which could be rephrased, who had the most to lose if Epstein remained alive?